Galatians chapter 3, verse number 24. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. We want to take a look at here this morning and what we read in verse number 27. Listen to what the scripture says in verse 27 of Galatians 3. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We want to consider the subject this morning, baptized into Christ and in to his church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you, Father, for your word and the truth of it, Lord, how you speak to us through your word and how you tell us the truth in it. Lord, you give us great and wondrous things that we might understand about your working and your power. And Lord, we praise your name for that. And we pray, for Father, that you'd help each one of us as your children, that you've saved, Father, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of you and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might grow in the grace and knowledge of your word. And Lord, we might be built up in those things that you have for us in your scripture. And Lord, we just might be strengthened in you, and we might be encouraged in you, and we might be a good witness of you and what you've done for us to a lost and dying world round about us. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning not saved, Father, that you might, even this hour, even at this time, might touch them and reveal Christ unto them. Lord, you're the one to do it, and you're the only one that can do it, and we pray, Father, that you would. Lord, take your word and the preaching of your word and move with the Holy Spirit, Father, that sinners might be saved and drawn unto you. Help us now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake, and amen. Here in verse number 27, it says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism. Baptism into Christ and his church. Baptism is one of the things that makes Baptists distinctive. It is one of our Baptist distinctives, and where we stand about baptism makes us distinctive against the secular world or versus the secular world and versus the religious world. Baptism is a very important part of that and where we stand in it. We want to take a look at a few things that are academic and should be very familiar to each one of us in the church, but for the sake of review and for the sake of maybe some things that we need refreshed, we'll take a look at a few points here, and then we'll take a look about this being baptized into Christ and in his church. The one that was sent to baptize was John the Baptist. Amen. John chapter 1. I encourage you to turn over there. John chapter 1, verse number 6. The scripture says here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John was sent by God, and he was sent by God on a mission to fulfill some Old Testament scriptures, coming in the power of Elijah, and he was sent by God. And we see the testimony of John himself over in verse number 33 of this same chapter. Listen to what John says. And I knew him not, speaking about Jesus Christ, but he that sent me to baptize with water. Okay, we're not going to deal with what John is telling about there and how he was able to know who the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Messiah, who the Redeemer would be from amongst men. But John makes the statement there, he that sent me to baptize with water was God the Father, God Almighty, that sent this man in whom the Spirit of God dwelled even from his mother's womb. He was sent of God to baptize repentant sinners in water, to immerse them, to put them under the water. And if I understand correctly, historically, there was none other before that was sent doing such a thing. This was new. John preached of a coming Redeemer and Savior. John preached of the Messiah even being at hand, being amongst the people, but not known by the people yet. And John was sent by God to baptize. He was sent to baptize by the Lord God Almighty. Here in Matthew chapter 3, we encourage you to take a look over here. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 13. Matthew chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning of his ministry right before the beginning of his ministry, he goes to the man sent by God to baptize with water to be baptized himself. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate. Why would he need to be baptized? Is the Lord Jesus Christ a sinner? Does he have any need or any lack of anything? No, he does not. But he did so for a pattern and a thing that he was establishing that would be manifested in his church. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee. That's up north, a northern region. There, Judea being where Jerusalem is, Samaria being to the north, northwest of that, and Galilee north of that yet. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, some 60 miles unto John, that is John the Baptist, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? You're the one that should be baptizing me. With the reputation at hand and those things that are told about you, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, listen, suffer it so, to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. Jesus told John, he says, John, this is the way it's supposed to be. I'm to be baptized of you. That is the fulfilling of righteousness. That's what's been ordained of the Father, is that I should be baptized of you. Why? Because, John, you've been sent. You've been sent by God to baptize repentant and believing sinners in water. And so I'm coming to you. The Lord is not repentant. He has no need of repentance. He is perfect. He is God. But he is establishing a pattern here that we'll see. So John says, okay, he suffered him. Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There the Lord Jesus Christ going to be baptized of John. And we take a look at God, the Godhead. We take a look at the Trinity. The Son goes to the man sent by God to do the baptizing. And so the Son of God certainly approves of it, doesn't he? Amen. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ comes up out of the water, he's immersed. He's put in that water as if he is buried in water, as we'll see the scripture bears out. When he comes up out of the water and stands again, the Spirit of God descends from heaven like a dove and abides on him. That was what John had been told to signify who the Redeemer and Savior would be. So the Spirit of God is giving sanction to this baptism also. Amen. So the Son is there. He goes a long way to receive that baptism from the man sent by God to do so. The Spirit of God descends and lights upon the Lord Jesus Christ like a dove. And then the Father speaks from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so the sanction of the Godhead is there upon that baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because he needed it, but because he's establishing a pattern that those that enjoin him and his church should be baptized to identify and signify what the Lord has done through salvation in their hearts. Next, we see in John chapter 3, take a look back over here in John chapter 3, very simple. The Lord has made it very plain and very simple about the reasons and the purposes for baptism. In John chapter 3, verse number 22, after these things, John 3, verse 22, and after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John was also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there. Because to baptize folks, you need a lot of water. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. And so we see here, let's go ahead in verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John gives an answer there, saying, I must decrease and he must increase. He is the one that I've told you about. You need to go to him. and my ministry is going to diminish because he is the Savior. So we see the Lord there. It says that he is baptizing. His disciples are there baptizing. John the Baptist is still baptizing. And then we drop on down to chapter number 4 and verse number 1. When therefore the Lord, that is Jesus Christ, knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John the Baptist. And look at the note here. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So the word's getting around. More folks are going to Jesus than are going to John. The folks are flocking to the preaching of Jesus and the disciples of the Lord and the preaching that's being done by him and his church. In his church, very simply, those that have been saved, those that have been baptized by John, those that are coming to the preaching of Jesus Christ himself and that of his disciples, and they're coming and enjoining them. God has sent John the Baptist to baptize repentant sinners, those that repented of their sins, trusted in the coming Messiah, that one that John preached about. He baptized them. Jesus Christ goes to John and receives baptism of him. And the next thing you know, the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples are there preaching and heralding the word of God and the gospel. And the disciples of the Lord are there baptizing those that come as they came to John the Baptist. They come to John and they say, look, there's more folks going to him than there are coming to you. And John says, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it's supposed to be. Go to him. He is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. And so we see this clarified here. The Lord and his church baptizing repentant believers. Next, we just want to review and mention to you here in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, we have the great commission that the Lord has given to his church. It's not given to any other organization. It's given to his local New Testament Baptist church. And in the midst of this commission, we see baptism mentioned here. Verse number 16 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I've got it all. Go ye therefore, because I have this power, I'm giving you a commission, I'm giving you an instruction, I'm giving you a command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, preaching to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation is through Jesus Christ, through repentance and faith in him. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, that second part of the commission there, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So here, the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection and that time of instruction that he has there with his church, he tells his church, go do the same thing that I've taught you to do. That's what he's saying. Teach them about the gospel. Preach to them about salvation through me. And those that come forward saying that they have been saved by me, baptize them and then teach them to observe the things that I've commanded you in the Word of God. And those things, of course, that will be coming forth from his apostles, as we even saw Wednesday night. So here, baptism. Baptism is of God. It's sent by God for a reason. It's sent by God for a man. It's taken by the Lord into his church, and his church is found there administering that baptism. And so now we come to this point of being baptized into Christ. And in Galatians 3:27, as we read, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism. Baptism. Take a look at Romans chapter 6. Let's take a look here. Romans chapter 6. What's baptism all about? Is it just something that you get done, you've been saved, and you just go ahead and get and your ticket of life or your punch card of life, and you just go ahead and get that hole punched on the little thing that says baptism there? Is it just something that you just go get done, and after that, it's done, it's over with, it has no more significance, it's over with? No, it's not that way, folks. Baptism is the beginning. Salvation through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a beginning, the beginning of a life of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner is visited by the Lord, and he's shown his sin. He's shown Jesus Christ as the only way to have forgiveness of his sins, the only way to have everlasting life. And when the Lord visits one and saves that soul, then baptism is certainly commanded of the Lord, and is borne out by the Scriptures that that sinner that has been saved should follow the Lord Jesus Christ in scriptural baptism, because that's the only kind of baptism that there is, that they might identify with Christ, might identify with Him. That we say, I needed Christ to do what He did for me, to tell the world, to witness to that church that is administering that baptism. That's what we did when each one of us that are members of Olmsted Baptist Church, that's what Sister Caitlin will do this morning as she submits to scriptural baptism. She'll be identifying with Christ publicly, making it known that Christ needed to have died for her. She has no hope. It doesn't finish salvation. It doesn't complete salvation. But it's a testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for her. You and I, when we were baptized, that's a statement that we made. Look here in Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? I needed his death for me. And I needed to die to myself and to sin and to the world and to my depravity. And yes, these bodies are not saved. Yes, these minds are not saved. But I needed Christ to die for me, and I have died with him. I ask you, child of God, have you? Have you died with Christ? Is your life your own, or is your life his? Huh? Is your life yours, or is it his? Let's read on. He says, know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him. That lowering of that one into the water. We are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's a testimony that God has saved me. Jesus has saved my soul. And I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm not going to live that old way before. I'm going to live the rest of my time for the Lord. For the Lord. Baptism isn't just a thing of getting your ticket punched. It's very, very significant of what's supposed to have happened and what you have commit yourself to in going forward for your Savior. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, verse 4, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted, that's an interesting word, okay, buried, planted, together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's a reason that we don't leave him under the water. Amen. It's told by years ago by a preacher that new converts that submitted themselves for baptism, he would hold them under until they would say, tithe, and together we build. We don't hold them under, do we? No, but they come back up. Right? Because Christ raised from the dead, so shall we, okay? If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We look forward to that, don't we? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. It's a new way. It's a new life. It's not just something that we've done over here and then, okay, get back on with living life. No, but it's a new life. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, right? We look forward to the resurrection, don't you? Amen. The promise of the resurrection is the hope that we have in Christ. And it's signified there in baptism. Now, if we be dead, verse 8, with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, and therefore no dominion over us. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God, and so should you and I. So should you and I. So should we live unto God. Every bit of our life. Your work, your play, your life at home should be unto the Lord to honor and glorify him. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but then he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at it, consider it, and understand it should be that way. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lusts or the desires of the flesh, the body. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Baptism signifies the death, the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper certainly indicates his death. That's what we remember in that. And I found that very interesting when a brother shared that with me since I've been here about how that is. The ordinances in the Lord's Supper, we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in baptism, the burial and the resurrection. Okay? And the Lord Jesus Christ was buried because he did die. And because he's God, he took his life back again. You know what? In baptism, I'm signifying not only that the Lord died for me, but that I'm dead to myself. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I am the Lord's. And because the Lord has saved me and I'm no longer mine, he will raise me from the dead one day. A hope of life in him. I don't live to myself anymore. And yes, I do have troubles. Yes, I do. We do have struggles. But we have the Lord there, and that is to be our goal, and that's what's signified by baptism. Galatians chapter 4, back at our text verse here in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 24, we read this. For as many of you, in verse number 27, for as many as you of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. Put on Christ. Signifying how that dying to self. See, repentance is saying, I'm wrong. I'm wicked. I'm evil. I'm guilty. That's what repentance is. Repentance is dying to self. And God, you're right. What's next? Amen? That's repentance. I'm wrong, I'm guilty, I deserve what you say I've got coming. What's next? Well, the Lord says, repent and believe the gospel. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I receive your Savior. I receive the Lord Jesus Christ on your terms, on his terms, on the way that he said that he has died for me. And I'm trusting in him. And I'm believing in him. And I'm relying and resting in him that he has the power to take my sins away and give me everlasting life. I am relying on you, Lord, and what you have to do for me. That's what baptism is signifying. Dead to self, dead to sin, dead to the world, and raised alive in Christ because of him, because of what he has done for the sinner. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 10. Colossians 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In verse 11 of Colossians 2, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Our sin has been cut off of us, buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. See the parallel that it puts right in there? The parallel is right there. The Lord has come and visited me. He has and saving us and visiting us and bringing his word and the moving and working of the Holy Spirit, he has caused us to see that our way is not the right way, that our way is a wicked way. Our way, the way of sin and the way of man, leads to death. And him revealing that to us, we die to that. Before the Lord visited me, it's all I hung on to, is what I could do, what I could figure out. Or maybe another man could bring me one day that maybe would be the answer. But in repentance and Holy Spirit conviction and the revealing of the truth of God's word, I died to the way of man. I died to myself. And so did you, if you're here and say. And then being raised up out as the significance and how it is in baptism, being raised up out of the water, I'm alive to the newness of life in Christ, the life that he's given me, a life that before I was saved I had no comprehension of. But now through the Spirit of God is essential, is necessary. It's what we say. Why wouldn't I save before? Right? We say that. Right? What was my problem? We know the working and operation of God. We understand that. But on this side of life, we look on and say, why did I waste my time? Amen? Why did I fiddle around with that? And we understand about those things and what the scripture bears out. But it's so evident and so obvious on this side of life, this operation. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith and operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, made alive. That's what that word quicken means. Quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The law stood against me. Jesus kept it for me. Naturally, I'm dying. Jesus has given me life. Death and the grave has had a hold on me and was going to take me down, and dying in the condition that I was in, if death and the grave would take me down and would take me in to it, and I would die without Christ as my Savior, I would be heading for that second death. We took a look at that in Sunday school class here this morning about those that will appear at the great white throne judgment of God. But the Lord gave me life. He gave me life unto life, if you will. Salvation of the soul. That will, when the salvation of the Lord is fully revealed and manifested in we that are saved, will yield salvation of the body and of the mind, right? A new body like Christ's. A mind like Christ, a completely saved being, a completely saved soul, body, and spirit, and existence that'll be able to do nothing but serve and honor and glorify the Lord forever. Isn't that great? Amen. Amen. By that operation of God, he took death, hell, and the grave and nailed it to his cross. He took the law that stood against me, that showed me my sin and wickedness, and he nailed it to his cross. He put an end to it in regards to Jim Duke. Now, I refer a lot to me because I'm the one that I know about. You that are saved, you see and understand and know that he did that for you. And our dear sister Caitlin, by her testimony, she knows and believes, she says, that the Lord has done that for her. And she wants to publicly proclaim it before the church and before the world. Baptized into Christ, and then lastly, baptized into his body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. His body. You know, the word church, and we understand about it, and we study about it. I was talking to a brother here not too many weeks ago about the whole thing about the word church and how that's been used and how we go to the scripture, and we've been taught that word church is from the Greek ekklesia, and we have an understanding about what the church is. And that's the way it's come to us in the scriptures, and the Lord knows all about that. But what if we took every time we said church and we just said body? Would that give us a different understanding? I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to the body. We always said that. Take church, and instead of saying church, say body. I'm going to go to the body. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. I'm going to forsake assembling with the body. Whose body is it, folks? Is it our body? It's the Lord Jesus Christ's body. Yeah. I think it would add some gravity to it, wouldn't it? It would. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. Let's read here. For as the body is one and hath many members, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Baptism of the repentant sinner that says, I want to declare my faith publicly in Jesus Christ, and I want to submit and obey the Lord. In that baptism, they are joining that body that is administering such. They are joining that body, becoming a member of that body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. There you are. There you are out there sitting on the pews. Here I am up here preaching, I trust. But if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now if God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. It says there in the book of Acts, but as many, I'm going to refer to it now and I'm going to mess it up. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. The Lord adds to his church. All right? And by our sister's declaration and public proclamation, we trust that that's the working of God of her being added by God to this body. Amen? We believe that's the case. By her testimony and her desire. The Lord adds to his church. The Lord builds that body. He adds the members to it. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You need your little toe. And you go stub your little toe, and the rest of you is going to get concerned about it. So it needs to be with us in the body, amen? And each one of us as members, and Sister Caitlin being added, we look forward to her taking her place that the Lord has made for her in the body. Amen? Amen. Right. That's the way it is. Because if this is of God and the blessing of God and our expectation that it is of the Lord, we need that addition. We need it. We need that addition and that tempering that the Lord continues to do amongst us. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, no division, no quarreling, no controversy, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And whether the members be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And how did you get there? By the Lord adding and by baptism. The feet will say to the ear, I'm tired of carrying you around. But then one day, the whole body jumps off the railroad track, and the ear says, see why God has put me here? Because if it hadn't have been for me, you'd have never known that the train was coming behind us. Amen? Right. Yeah, an ear isn't a thing that's really, in and of itself, is too pretty, but it sure is necessary, isn't it? Amen. You see the point? You see the point? Listen, folks, we need one another. And we need to behave like we need one another. I didn't say act. We need to behave. We need to be in fellowship. We need to have unity, one and of another, one with another, and enjoin one another. If my hand would have decided to stay at the house this morning, I'd have had a hard time preaching, wouldn't I? Amen. I would have. We need to be together, and the Lord has done this blessed things for us. The Lord knows we need fellowship. The Lord knows that we need edification and building up. Baptized into Christ, baptized into His church. How about you this morning? Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? You know that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross for you, and that He was buried, and that He rose again to give you forgiveness for your sins, to give you everlasting life. And you know of a surety that Christ did those things for you. I ask you the next thing then. Have you been baptized? Have you been baptized to show that to the world? Have you been obedient to the Lord and Him saving you and what He even indicated by His own life, that He went to be baptized to give a pattern and example to His people and those that would be saved to by baptism declare what the Lord has done publicly and to enjoin and serve the Lord in His church, in His body? If that's you this morning, we invite you. If the Lord has saved you, we invite you to come tell us about it. And we pray that the Lord might move upon you, that you would be baptized here and join Olmsted Baptist Church and serve the Lord here. If the Lord has saved you, or you have a concern about salvation, we'd be glad to help you in any way we can. I can't save you. Church can't save you. But we point you to the one that can. And we pray that you might see Christ.